Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites CourseHero.com and orsymphony.org. Question number one. Two of the four main sections, family of instruments, of an orchestra are strings and woodwinds. What are the other two main sections of an orchestra? And question number two. Given those four main sections of an orchestra, to which one does the piano belong? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of July the 12th. Well, it was on this day back in 1795, you may remember, that the French National Convention accepted La Marseillaise as the French national anthem. It was the first national anthem of France. And it was 26 years ago today, 1993, that the U.S. Postal Service released 29-cent stamps that honored four Broadway musicals. The featured scenes were from My Fair Lady, Porgy and Bess, Showboat, and Oklahoma. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled, Why Go See Live Theater If You Are Blind? This is written by Maribel Steele, published on the 11th of January, 2019, in visionaustralia.org. I'm often asked the question by sighted theater lovers, what's the point of going to a live show if you're blind? For the same reason as anyone else, to enjoy the performance. After experiencing my first audio-described musical a couple years ago, I am truly hooked and recommend you try it too. The difference it made to the enjoyment of a live show was immense, thanks to a small group of dedicated audio-describers. I have always had a particular fondness for musicals, but as a person with a degenerative eye condition, I have to rely on my sighted companions to keep me up to speed with the happenings on the theater stage. And as noted by the American Council for the Blind in their website, acb.org, today many theatrical companies engage the services of trained audio describers to enhance the theater experience for people who are blind or have low vision. We are fortunate to have in the studio today Charles Faniff, the executive director of Raleigh Little Theater, to tell us about this service for the Raleigh area. Welcome to Music Review, Charles.
Thanks. I'm delighted to be here.
So tell us, Charles, what is the history of this technology, especially for Raleigh Little Theater, and how does it work anyway?
Glad to answer that. I'm by no means an expert on audio description, but my friends at Arts Access are, and they're a really great local organization that I got a lot of this information from. So audio description is a narration service for individuals who are blind or have low vision. The audio describer provides an ongoing dialogue of visual events that are taking place on the stage, screen, at the museum, or even public speaking events. And at Raleigh Little Theater, this is especially a way that a lot of people enjoy our musicals. RLT first started doing audio description sometime in the late 80s or early 90s, and we've been offering regularly scheduled audio described performances for the last several years.
Okay. Well, tell me something then about the describers. What kind of training did they get, and where are they located in the theater anyway?
Yeah, so in order to become a professional audio describer, Arts Access does a series of trainings, and it starts with a two-day intensive. There's a woman locally named Debbie Hippler who does that training. Mm-hmm. She gives a history of audio description, how it came to be. People in this session start by describing a still image, and then they progress to describing action from a movie clip, so progressively harder things to describe. Mm-hmm. And then last year, that training concluded with everybody coming to Raleigh Little Theater to hear a person with a lot of experience actually describe a show. Arts Access trained 20 people this last year from throughout the East Coast. They actually have another training coming up in January of 2020, and the best way to learn more about that is to visit their website. Site artsaccessinc.org, or to reach out to Betsy and Megan there. Mm-hmm. But once people complete that training, they go through a mentorship phase. Now, when patrons come to the theater, they'll find that the audio describers are typically someplace like the balcony. Mm-hmm. They've normally seen the show already, so they know what to expect, and they will they'll start by describing the set so that patrons know kind of what the setting is to begin with. Good. And then it goes from there, and they describe the action of the play.
Mm-hmm. I noticed in one of the articles about this topic that some of the places actually have something called tactile tours after the performance. Does Raleigh Little Theater provide that, or are they thinking about it?
We have done that on occasion before. We did that several years ago for a group from the Governor Moorhead School, and we're happy to do it again. Uh-huh. And just folks just need to request that. And for certain shows, especially shows that have really interesting costumes or mm-hmm. detailed sets, I think it can be especially enjoyable and interesting.
Good point. Yeah, and so this will all be available this coming 2019-2020 season at Raleigh Little Theater. And what are those performances that are – it's the second Sunday, is that it?
That's right. We do – audio described performances are scheduled on the second Sunday of each show in our season, so that's 10 different productions. Mm-hmm. And that's for plays for both adult audiences and family audiences. And we're happy to add additional audio described performances. Sometimes it happens that a show will sell out. I know that happened during Sister Act this last year, and we added a second audio described performance. We just need at least a week or ideally a little bit longer so that we can book a describer through Arts Access. But the next show that's going to be audio described will be Antigone. So mm-hmm. that's a classical Greek drama, and that's on Sunday, July 28th. Then A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder on August 25th. And, of course, Cinderella is a holiday show that we do for the whole family. That's one of our most popular audio described performances, mm-hmm. and that's coming up this December on Sunday, December 15th.
Mm-hmm. Right. And let's see. Thank you for that information and the service. And thank you also for Raleigh Little Theater's gift of tickets to our annual TRRS Gala fundraising auction in the fall. And finally, thank you for agreeing to read in the next section of this program also, Charles.
You're welcome.
Before we do that, though, Charles, why don't you tell us a little bit about the other services that are available as well?
Sure. I also wanted to mention that we have a number of classes at RLT for youth and adults. You've taken some of those, Randy. Mm-hmm. And anyone can sign up for those, and we're happy to make accommodations. Our recent production of Pippin that Patrick Torres, our artistic director, directed, had two actors who are blind or have low vision. Mm-hmm. One made his stage debut, and the other has appeared at Raleigh Little Theater a number of times before. And the last thing I wanted to mention is that we offer by request, cited guides for Groove in the Garden, which is coming up on September 21st, as we really want people to be able to enjoy that whole experience. And then your audience may also be interested. The City of Raleigh is putting on Universal Access in the Arts Day. That's on Tuesday, July 30th. Mm-hmm. And it's a day-long event highlighting trends and best practices in the arts for engaging disability communities. They're going to have the co-founders of the National Disability Theater, Tallery McRae and Mickey Rowe, here for a keynote address and to present an afternoon session. But that's just a day full of really great programming that I think both practitioners and patrons would enjoy, because it's an opportunity to learn just about what are the new opportunities and the new ways to engage with the arts.
Great. I thank you again.
What do I do when my love is away? Does it worry you to be alone? How do I feel by the end of the day? Are you sad because you're on your own? No, I get by with a little help from my friends. Get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends.
Ringo and the Beatles with A Little Help from My Friends introduces our rock and pop music news. It's an article entitled Happy Birthday Ringo, the former Beatle on peace, love, sobriety, turning 79 and drumming for the world's most famous band. This is published in Parade magazine July 5, 2019 by Jim Farber. Ringo Starr sees messages of peace and love everywhere, even in his food. While flipping through a copy of his new book of photos, Another Day in the Life, he finds a shot he took of two carrots, which he had posed to mimic the familiar two-fingered V sign for nonviolence and goodwill. They're very peaceful carrots, he says with a smile.
You need anybody? I just need someone to love.
For Ringo, peace and love has gone way beyond a personal mantra to become a public mission. Starting 11 years ago, July 7, his birthday, the former Beatle began holding the peace and love birthday celebrations, for which he appears somewhere around the world, and asks everyone to pause at noon to say or think the P and L words. This year, he'll do so in front of the classic building that houses the Beatles' former label, Capitol Records, in Los Angeles, just a few miles from Ringo's current home in Beverly Hills. So, Ringo, why has the message of peace and love become so important to you? You're rarely photographed without flashing the peace sign.
I love the mid-60s when all this peace and love started. The Beatles went right along with it. The press used to give me a hard time. Oh, he's doing that peace and love thing again. But I'm only peace and loving. It's connected to the Maharishi. If you think to do good, then the planet will support you. It's like a pebble in the ocean. It's rippling out. And it will get to shore. But you can't be impatient.
Well, you just turned 79. Which means you're 1 year from a very big birthday.
I'll be 80. I can't hide my birthday. It's not like I can say, oh, I was born in 1956. Everybody knows exactly when I was born and exactly how old I am. I'm not ashamed of it anymore. When I was a teenager, I thought that everybody at 60 should be shot because they're useless. And when I got to 40, my mother said, I don't suppose you feel that way anymore, son. I was well PO'd with being 40. But after that, you just go with it. Actually, it's a miracle I'm still around. I put a lot of medication in my body, and I could have left at any time.
Well, then, what is your favorite Beatles song that was sung by you?
I think With a Little Help from My Friends. Mm-hmm. It's given me a whole career. I'm thankful many a time for that.
Well, you still tour often, and you don't really have to, so why do you stick with it?
People keep saying, why are you still playing? Well, that's what I do. Huh. I'm not an electrician. As a lad, I used to think of other musicians. Boy, he's still playing at 40. But they do it because some nights you get uplifted, and it's like getting high, in a clean way. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the audience knows that I love them, and I know they love me.
Which brings us back to the peace and love theme. What is your greatest hope for that event?
I have a fantasy that on the 7th of July, some year from now, the whole world will say, at noon, peace and love. And maybe we'll have a change.
Well, thank you, Ringo. And thanks again, Charles Faniff, and Raleigh Little Theater for all that you do to support the North Carolina Reading Service.
Cheerio.
Maurice Ravel's Bolero introduces our international music news. Bastille Day, July 14th. This is from July 2019 issue of Crescendo, WCPE, the classical station, 89.7 FM. Last week, WCPE celebrated our nation's independence with patriotic marches by John Philip Sousa and beautiful melodies by Aaron Copland. Coming up this weekend, WCPE celebrates its 41st year on the air. And on Sunday, July 14th, Bastille Day, WCPE celebrates the French contribution to great classical music. Enjoy music by Bizet, Ravel, Debussy, and more. Phone 800-556-5178 for additional information about this classical music station and their offerings. And in local music news, we have this just-announced DPAC concert coming up December the 3rd through the 8th. Yes, it's Irving Berlin's White Christmas, the musical. Durham Performing Arts Center. And tickets go on sale to the public this Friday, July the 12th at 10 a.m. This holiday season, discover the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Start with a timeless tale of joy and goodwill. Fill it with classic Irving Berlin songs. Top it off with glorious dancing and lots of snow. And head on over to the Durham Performing Arts Center to see Irving Berlin's White Christmas. DPAC is located in the American Tobacco Historic District next to the Durham Bulls Athletic Park, 123 Vivian Street, Durham, North Carolina. Phone 919-680-2780, 87 for more information. Now, December may seem a long way away, but that lots of snow description sounds refreshingly cool right about now. And the tickets go on sale today, July the 12th. A couple of famous drummers introduce our next section.
Hi, I'm Gene Krupa.
Hi, I'm Buddy Rich.
And in classical music news, we readily recognize the importance of percussion instruments in an orchestra. But as this article asked, why were drums used in war? This is written by Shem E. Yilfrak and published on May 5, 2016 in Quora.com. Prior to modern-day communication technologies, drums have been used throughout the history of warfare in heterogeneous capacities. The most well-known use for drums in the military is to synchronize the march of the soldiers. However, this was by far not the most important role of drums in warfare. On the battlefield, up until the late 19th century, drums were used on the battlefield to communicate commands from officers to the soldiers. Due to the loud noise on the field, it was practically impossible for the soldiers to hear verbal commands, and so the use of various drum rolls were successful in communicating commands such as attack, retreat, etc. The use of drums was often glamorized in the media and artistic paintings depicting battles, which in turn attracted young boys who wanted to participate in the military. Despite the age restriction for joining the military, young boys were sometimes deployed in the capacity of drummers, which birthed the term drummer boy. In the French and Indian War, American Revolution, and Civil War, drummer boys were specifically targeted for that reason. And of course, there's all kinds of drums that we have, of which we'll mention a few. For example, the taiko drum, believed to have been used as far back as 1500 to 2000 years ago on the battlefield. With its deep and powerful sound, it could be heard over great distances. In addition to issuing commands and coordinating troop movements, it is believed that these drums were also used to intimidate and scare the enemy. These types of drums were also used in villages to alert the inhabitants of imminent threats to the village, whether they be man-made or natural threats courtesy of Mother Nature. Then we have the cuss or kettle drums, today known as timpani drums. These were used by Islamic military during the Crusades, as these drums had a disturbing effect on the horses of the Crusaders who had previously not encountered such sounds. And the medieval tabor, also known as the modern-day snare drum, was brought into use during the 13th century to rally and motivate troops, as well as demoralize the enemy. So how did you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, two of the four main sections of an orchestra are strings and woodwinds. What are the other two main sections of an orchestra? The CourseHero.com website notes that an orchestra's four main sections are 1. Strings, which includes violin, viola, cello, and double bass, and brass, that includes trumpets, trombones, and tubas, and 3. Woodwinds, that includes oboes, flutes, clarinets, bassoons, and finally, 4, percussion, that includes timpani, triangle, and cymbal. So the 2 right answers were brass and percussion. And question 2, which main section of the orchestra of these 4, the family of instrument, is the piano? As noted in orsymphony.org, that stands for Oregon Symphony, the most common percussion instruments in the orchestra include the timpani, xylophone, cymbals, triangle, snare drum, bass drum, tambourine, maracas, gongs, chimes, celesta, and piano. Orsymphony.org acknowledges, however, that people disagree about whether the piano is a percussion or a string instrument. You play it by hitting its 88 black and white keys with your fingers, which suggests it belongs in the percussion family. However, the keys lift hammers inside the piano that strike strings. Indeed, the piano has more strings than any other string instrument, which produce its distinctive sound. Wherever it fits in, there's no disputing the fact that the piano has the largest range of any instrument in the orchestra. It is a tuned instrument, and you can play many notes at once using both hands. Within the orchestra, the piano usually supports the harmony, but it has another role as a solo instrument, playing both melody and harmony. So let's close out today's music review program with one of the many concertos written for this member of the percussion/string family. This is Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 21. Memories of the film Elvira Madigan may come to mind. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in the TRRS website, TriangleReadingService.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.